This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Evolutionary Collective Conversations with Patricia Albert. The next evolutionary leap for humanity is a critical shift from individual to global consciousness. This higher level of development takes us beyond our individual self-concern into expanding capacities for unity, interconnectedness, evolutionary relating, and collective intelligence. Contemporary spiritual teacher and visionary Patricia Albert engages deep and probing dialogues with frontline luminaries shaping the next wave of conscious evolution. Please welcome Patricia Albert.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. It's Patricia. And today, I'm going to be speaking about mutual awakening, opening into a new paradigm of human relatedness, obviously one of my favorite topics, but it is now a book that Jeff Carrera and I have created together, and it will be a free ebook that people will be able to download as of December 7th. So I have Jeff Carrera online today with me, and we're going to be speaking about the book and the content, and I'm sure assorted other things that we have no idea are going to happen. So welcome, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Patricia. It's fantastic to be on, and I'm very pleased, as I know you are, to be this is actually our first opportunity to speak specifically about the book, and I know we're both looking forward to being able to share the possibility that the book contains with as many people as possible, which is why we wanted to make it available as an ebook to download. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah. So I want to let everyone know, because we'll be telling you over and over how to get it. So it will be, we will be sending it to people as of December 7th, and it's, as we said, it's a free ebook. It's 77 pages. It's beautifully illustrated. It's 6 chapters, and we'll be talking about the content a bit, but it's, you know, we're very proud of it, and it really will take you into an understanding and also to be inspired by this new possibility of human relatedness that I really think will speak to your soul. You know, anyone who's going to be downloading it, I think it's really going to be helping to make sense of things that you're probably already wondering about or beginning to feel or beginning to experience. The book is definitely one of those books that starts to make sense of things. So, Jeff, Jeff and I just had the privilege of being together over the weekend for 3 full days with the people from all over the world that come together for the Evolutionary Collective, the Committed Core Group, and it was just sort of mind-blowingly amazing. So we're still floating from that, right, Jeff?
We definitely are.
So hopefully we'll make sense as we do our talk today. So how do you want to start with this, Jeff?
Well, I think what I'd like to do, first of all, maybe just to give a little practical background a little history of this. We started to think about writing something together, I don't know, probably about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you might remember that we actually produced a sort of a small PDF article then and started to talk about and feel ready to create a book that would contain, to the extent that a book can,
right,
possibility for human relatedness. And as we spoke about it, you know, and as we envisioned it, we wanted the language of the book to be very experiential, so that it really did, as you said earlier, offer an entree, you know, an entry point for people into the space that we are describing. And we also wanted the book to be itself an expression of the multidimensional nature of what we were talking about. And I really am very, as you said, we're both very happy and very proud, not only of the words that we've created, but also the design. You know, we had some magnificent help on the design and images. And, you know, I feel that the book is really a reflection of a very profound space in consciousness and essentially the space that we explore in the Evolutionary Collective. And I know that last week you, on your last show, you spoke with Jeff Salzman about what are now becoming popular as we space practices. And we felt, you know, we see this book as a valuable contribution to that, to the whole discussion around collective awakening, intersubjective enlightenment, you know, the various phrases that are used, and most importantly, the book is pointing to a possibility, and the possibility we speak about as a new paradigm for human relatedness, and also in the book, more maybe more specifically or more pointedly, we refer to it as living mutuality. And I thought, you know, I thought since for us the book is really a pointer towards a space in consciousness, it would be most appropriate to speak about the space in consciousness right up front and then, you know, give a little more information about the book and what else the book contains once the space is more clear.
Sounds great. Good.
Okay, so, would you mind if I start then?
No, please do.
Okay. So living mutuality, I think, is a beautiful phrase that's actually, I think it occurs in the first chapter of the book, which is one that was written specifically by Patricia. But, you know, as I said a minute ago, there is a lot of popularity around we space, intersubjective awakening practices. And most often what's being taught are techniques that lead to an experience of heightened connectivity. And that's, of course, beautiful and valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But when we use the term living mutuality, the space that we want to point people to and the space that the Evolutionary Collective is creating is a space where that heightened connectivity becomes a lived space. And so, as Patricia was saying, among the people that are working with us in our core group, there's an ongoing commitment to coming together live and virtually, periodically, and to exploring what it means to exist within a space of living mutuality. And over this past weekend, we certainly had a huge and explosive and dynamic and ecstatic experience of what that means. And I wanted to just share personally with all of you, you know, Patricia and I are the guinea pigs for this work. So we continue to dive into the experience and discover it afresh. And we've worked together for the past 3 years, and Patricia worked in the Evolutionary Collective for years before that. And this past weekend, I experienced this state of living mutuality in a way that was different from what I've experienced before, and I would like to try to express it to you clearly. Since Patricia and I are working so closely as teaching partners, often the experiences we have involve each other. And in this case, it did. At some point in the weekend, I realized what I was experiencing was something that I could only express as a full-bodied connection with her as my partner, as a friend, as someone I love. And it was not an experience of connection that happened in my head. It was really happening in my being. And I realized as the weekend unfolded that it not only included Patricia, but it included all the people that were working with us. And we had a group of about 60. And soon I felt this living, embodied experience of connection with all of them, and realized that it wasn't an experience that I felt like I was having, you know, that I was here having an experience that was there. But it actually started to feel like a new experience of being me.
Mm-hmm.
Sense of being me that included, in this case, Patricia and the others in the room. It was a real collective sense of self that felt more like me than the separate self that might imagine it was having that experience. And what it allowed to happen in the room was a kind of emergent flow of activity where you really, or at least I had, a deep sense that there was just one thing happening in the room and that we were all participating in it, in a dance that was feeling more like who we were than the individuals that might have walked in the room. And I felt that that was a beautiful example of what this space and consciousness of living mutuality and what that possibility is. And that's the possibility that this book is pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of this information in the book, and there's, you know, it's a book, but in the end, we're offering this book to all of you so that it can support you in experiencing the state of living mutuality that, you know, that I was just describing and that could be described, I'm sure, many other ways. But, you know, that's what really matters.
Yeah, I'd like to take up on that. One thing just to say before is that if people want to make sure that they get the download, it's just they just go to www.ecdownload.com, just ecdownload.com, so they know that. Yeah, it was interesting that, and I really appreciate the way you expressed, obviously, your experience, but there's a quality in this mutual awakening, in this lived mutuality, which is, as Jeff said, there's experiences that happen that are extraordinary, you know, that are worth, you know, everything anyway. I mean, there were times, I think, especially on Saturday, I think we were just drunk. There was like this drunken feeling in the room, but we were all together in a certain space that was just, you know, like Rumi describes, you know, of the beloved, of being completely, deeply, just practically falling over, you know, with a kind of intense love and bliss and something, you know, that I can't even quite put my finger on. So, you know, obviously those kinds of experiences are graced and something to be incredibly grateful to just be a part of. But the thing that the book is pointing to and that the work is pointing to is that there's something that is being transformed in the moment-to-moment sense of self. And it was very clear in the room as we came together, you know, the things that we've been working on in the last 4 months, you know, when we hadn't seen each other physically, and the practices that people are very busy working with, you know, all during that time, you know, that shifts had happened. You know, there was less ego. There was a kind of fluidity that people were getting comfortable with, you know, instead of feeling like you have this solid sense of self that is kind of reliable and static in a certain way. There's been a quality of those identities letting go, and there's a kind of fluidity of being that usually people can only tolerate for short periods of time, and it seems to be coming a stable state for the group, you know, in varying degrees. So there's something about the transformation that we go through together. And as you were saying, this feeling like you don't have to think about the fact that you feel your body. You just feel it, you know, continuously as you move through your day and, you know, drink coffee and sit on the couch and, you know, put your coat on. I mean, it's just there. And it feels like what's happening is that this sensate quality of being a part of a larger body and a larger field of feeling and consciousness is actually beginning to be something that we're in all the time. You know, that's just a part of like how it actually is. And to me, that is just like wildly exciting.
That's
like off the charts exciting, like more fun than anything I can imagine, you know, doing. The human beings can actually be transforming in that way together, not just having, you know, certain experiences or just growth, but something that's happening at a high level together is exciting that's actually possible, and that's a direction that consciousness is headed.
And this possibility of living mutuality, you know, for all of us,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the collection of human beings, represents, as we say, a new paradigm for human relatedness. It's a new way to be together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be living mutuality for all of us is a new way of being together. And for the individual, as you're saying, Patricia, it's actually a new sense of self.
Yeah.
It's a new experience of being who you are that includes, you know, the individual unique aspect of who you are. But now you, as I described earlier, you now also experience yourself. It's a sense of self that also includes the relatedness with the people that you are connected to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think as you and I have said, we're just scratching the surface of what this possibility is. But it feels so significant that human beings can begin to break out of a sense of self which is overly dominated by separation and isolation and begin to embrace an expanded self, sense of self that includes the experience of relatedness within it. And, you know, as you said, I can't think of anything more thrilling than that possibility.
I mean, the other thing that was so startlingly loud and clear is somehow as that consciousness and that beingness becomes more and more a lived, substantial reality and experience, that the individuals, I mean, like, you know, there's a woman in the group that Jeff's, you've known for, like, what, 20 years, and she was, like, more herself, like, unleashed, like, who she was unleashed.
Right.
You could feel it. She was absolutely, like, just being who she was, like, in a way that was just beautiful and thrilling. And you said you hadn't seen as much of her.
I saw more of her that weekend than I ever have.
Yeah, it was really great. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, and then we will be back and we will continue. We're going to talk a little bit about the various chapters and some of the other elements of mutual awakening.
Mutual awakening is the experience of awakening together. There is a powerful and simple practice that allows people to move into an awakened relational field. Spiritual luminaries Patricia Albert and Jeff Carrera are happy to announce their new book, Mutual Awakening, Opening into a New Paradigm of Human Relatedness. In this book, they share exciting wisdom about a new dimension of consciousness and how it can be accessed. The book is available as a free download at www.ecdownload.com. Go to ecdownload.com and download your copy today.
Have you ever experienced slipping into a state of profound trust in life? A time when you were open and free and undefended. The practice of meditation has long been known as a doorway to just this experience. In his new free ebook, Evolutionary Collective co-leader Jeff Carrera shares his deepest insight into the miracle of meditation. In 100 beautifully written and illustrated pages, Carrera shows you how to use the practice of meditation to enter into direct contact with reality and discover perfect and unbroken trust in life. To download your free copy today, simply visit www.ecdownload.com. That's the letter E, the letter C, download.com.
Something huge is happening. Over the past decade, spiritual teachers and visionaries have noticed that a new kind of consciousness is beginning to open. It's a level of consciousness, a 21st century awakening that only emerges through a new kind of relatedness. The Evolutionary Collective has been at the forefront of this emergence since the beginning. Patricia Albert invites you to go to www.evolutionarycollective.com to receive a free audio download and find out more. That's www.evolutionarycollective.com.
Hi everyone, it's Patricia Albert and I'm back with Jeff Carrera and we're speaking about our new book called Mutual Awakening, Opening into a New Paradigm of Human Relatedness.
That's great. And Patricia, what I was thinking over the break or through the break that I would like to tell people about this book, you know, because we're both so happy that it's about to come out. But the first thing I wanted everyone to know is that the book is really a signpost that's pointing to a possibility, and the possibility is a new paradigm for human relatedness or a possibility for living mutuality, which we just spoke about before the break. Now, as we speak a little bit more about the book, the first thing I would like people to know is that, at least as I see it, this isn't a book that I would suggest you read as much as a book that I would like you to experience, almost ride. It's a vehicle that I believe really can take you somewhere. It's as Patricia said, it's about 77 pages. It's beautifully illustrated, and it's been written in a way to really be an experiential journey. And so I'm also hoping that people will be able to read it in as few sittings as possible so they can really get in and let the book take them where it's pointing to. Because if you read a book like this for information, you know, it's not really that kind of read. It's not about information. It's more like poetry. When we work in the Evolutionary Collective, we, even in our teaching and in the way that we encourage people to interact in our work, we use poetry as the metaphor for the way that we want to use language, because poetry has always been the form of a literature which is most concerned with pointing to something that's beyond the words. Poetry has always been about using words as creatively and inventively as possible in order to allow someone to pass through the words into the experience that the poet is offering. And in many ways, I think the book that we have produced, our intention was for it to have that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to really encourage people to read it that way and to allow themselves the luxury of turning off the information gathering part of their circuitry.
I think, too, at this point, one would hope that with the Internet and the wonderful explosion of an endless stream of information and TED Talks and, you know, there's just so much, you know, that we can partake of, that, you know, the desire for it to be experiential and, you know, I often think of the EC that way in the courses, you know, it's a place where people can experience and develop and, you know, really engage in the work. Because
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like we just get, it's like having too much food. It's just
right.
Too much. You know, it gets to be too much and you don't have an opportunity to really take the ride, you know, and do what's possible. So. But the chapters, so I just want to mention, so again, if you're interested in making sure to receive the book, just go to ecdownload.com and you'll be able to, you know, just put your email in there and we will send it to you the moment it's available. And the chapters are, the first chapter is an invitation to mutual awakening, which is my journey and where the practice, the particular practice, which is a core practice, came from. And then the second chapter, Jeff, is the birth of mutual awakening.
Just to be clear, Patricia, the first chapter is an invitation to mutual awakening, and which is more of a general introduction to the book.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. The second chapter is my chapter.
That's right.
Sorry.
Birth of mutual awakening.
Okay. Then from meditation to mutual awakening, that's your chapter.
That's right.
Right.
That was my chapter. So the way the book works is first you get Patricia's story in her words of where this mutual awakening is also a practice that we do in the Evolutionary Collective, and the book is in many ways about that practice. And so in your chapter you describe how that practice first showed up for you many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And hint at how it developed into an actual practice that today we can write a book about.
Right.
And in the second chapter, which is in my voice, I write about essentially my introduction to mutual awakening, which happened when we started working together 3 years ago. And I was coming out of a long history of meditation practice, and so in that chapter I speak about how I, as someone with a deep practice in meditative modalities, encountered, wrestled with, and eventually surrendered to the practice of mutual awakening. And the third chapter, or the next chapter, is called Mysticism and Mutual Awakening. And in that chapter, we really are giving a context for this, not only the practice of mutual awakening, but also that the possibility and consciousness that we were speaking about earlier. And we put it in the context of mysticism, that we see this at its core as a mystical pursuit. And we lay out for you the qualities that make it mystical and also the attitudes and perspectives that we must adopt if we are going to follow this path to the glorious possibilities that we know about, you know, that it's pointing to.
I just want to say something about the mystical dimension of it is, people, because it was so powerful in the last few days, you know, the mystical awakening that happens between people has become just it's happening the whole time that we're together. And people end up, you know, I mean, that's starting to become normal, even though it's not normal. And so people often, when they share about what has happened in the practice with each other, they'll often, you know, with no prompting on our part, for sure, you know, we have people come up in front of the room because there's, you know, a large group of people so that people can see each other. And they'll often get up together, you know, radiant and shining, and then, like, share back and forth the actual revelation or experience that they're, you know, that they actually had together, which I always think is pretty funny. But that happens more and more of the time. So there's this mystical, like the mystery and the mystical revelation and the kind of experiences is a shared experience. And not only with two, and then when we're working all together and this practice is being used simultaneously and then with groups, larger groups, it just becomes even more and more multidimensionally, kind of mind-blowingly expansive. And so the kinds of experiences that we all have together and the realizations and the places that we're seeing and being taken into and the kinds of different senses that are opening up, it's, you know, obviously hard to explain because one of the things about mystical experiences is that it's ineffable. It is hard to explain, but maybe you're getting a sense of it in the way that I'm speaking. But it's very exciting.
And that's one of the things that I think this chapter on mysticism, it helps you. You can never understand the ineffable, but I think that the chapter on mysticism really helps you wrap yourself around a possibility that the mind isn't capable of understanding.
Right. What was funny, I mean, one of the things that has become over time, I think, a huge relief to people, and this may sound a little crazy, but that's okay, is that in the way that we work, you know, the need to make sense, you know, the need to make logical, rational sense is released, and as you were saying, it's more of like this poetic quality. So there's this liberation and this freedom then in being able to actually let experience come to us, and that when we share it in the room, it doesn't, you know, we don't have to like communicate it with the normal tracks that you usually use to communicate with other people, and everyone's just getting it. I mean, there's a kind of mutual understanding. I don't know if that's the right word, but like we're in the same experience together, and whatever words that are being used are just kind of highlighting that experience. And I find that that's, you know, especially this last weekend, I think people really got that, and that was maybe where we went into that drunken place, because then you're allowed to go farther than you've ever been before, because you don't have to, like, hold it together to make sure that it makes sense.
Right.
Did that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. It makes sense to me, anyway.
Yes. That probably doesn't say much.
It definitely makes sense. And I just say that the last two chapters are called A New Paradigm for Human Relatedness and A Container for Evolutionary Relationship. And in those chapters, we really explore what we see, what we have experienced, and what we intuit are the ultimate possibilities that this consciousness generates. And that, in a nutshell, is the book. And, Patricia, what I was thinking to do was to just read a short excerpt from the book and then then hopefully entice you to respond to it.
Okay. Well, so also, wait, before you do that, I also want to let people know that if they would like to call in and speak with us or ask a question, I want to give them that number so that while you're reading, you know, if they want to get it together and call in, they're more than welcome to. So the number is 877-230-3062. So it's 877-230-3062 in case you want to call in and ask any questions of Jeff or I. Okay.
Okay. And once again, if you want to make sure you get a copy of the book, you just go to ecdownload.com, and you can put in your email address, and we'll send it as soon as it's ready. So here's a short excerpt, Patricia. This is actually from your chapter, and I thought it's a beautiful example of what people will encounter in the book, and I think it'll give you a lot of possibility to respond to. It says, "Divine love, if surrendered to, is incessant and insatiable in its desire for more of itself. It dissolves, shatters, and transforms anything that blocks love's path toward deeper love. The isolated sense of self that we could call the ego is a byproduct of our experience of the lack of love. The ego is an endless chain of habitual activity and reactivity that we mistakenly assume will lead to love. Real love is beingness itself. It is the essence of existence." So that is the excerpt from your chapter.
Uh-huh.
And I would just love to hear anything that strikes you at hearing it. In some ways, that little excerpt almost captures at least what I have experienced as your entire teaching, at least the essence of it.
Yes, I guess this is what comes to say is, I mean, the origination of the practice, as I'm sure many people who've listened and, you know, followed some of the work that we've done may know, that came from a particular awakened relationship that I had with a man named Peter, who I love and loved and, you know, was graced to be given a really divine relationship, you know, very human, but we had, we were, the way we were loving each other seemed to be opening up the portals to this consciousness, and it had a never-ending way of continuing to destroy any kind of separateness that we still had within us, and just kept opening up, you know, into more and more love. And this last weekend, you know, I felt moved when you were reading, and not because I wrote that, but I was feeling the reality of what you were saying, Jeff. And for me, you know, to have 60 people discover that they can turn towards each other and the space between us in a particular way, and in the way that Peter and I discovered together that there was a way to turn towards one another, and that what is unleashed is a kind of spectacular just way of being together. It's like the way you know humans can be together. That is so beautiful and deep and loving and glimmering and just shatteringly, you know, it's heaven. I mean, the actual experience in that room is heaven on earth, consistently for 3 days. And people being amazing with each other and also being real. You know, it also has a container, just like with Peter and I. We could go through almost anything, and there was something that was always surrounding us, and we could handle anything. And we're willing to have, you know, that the power of what was present, you know, shatter and complete and dissolve, you know, the places in us that, you know, we had been identified with previously, you know, that we didn't need. So it's for me just the most exciting thing in the world to actually see that the space that we had been, you know, that had been opening up for us now there's like this multiple beloveds. It's like that human beings can actually together become this larger being. And it's real. I mean, it's so real and it's growing. You know, I felt like there was moments in it where it felt like we were on the edge of the edge, like we were like out at the end of the universe, you know, where I don't think anybody's ever been before, at least I've never been there before. And you could feel that we were just being rocketed farther, and everybody was completely there and present to exactly what was happening. So I don't know if that's what you wanted, but
I didn't have any particular desire. I wanted to not tell you what I was going to read and then see what would happen. So
yeah, and then I mean I don't even know if I should say this, but I mean the other thing that happened, you know, when you and I were practicing, you know, obviously A.H. Almas and Cynthia Bourgeau, when I did one of the radio shows about, you know, love is stronger than death, and you know there are people that are beginning to experiment, not in some kind of metaphysical way, but actually in a very new context, the ability to have people, you know, the connection, the real connections that we have with people that may or may not still be alive, to have that, the power of that fully available in the space between. And you and I experienced that. I mean, Peter was completely there at one moment, and the moment I felt his presence, you were looking at me, and I started to cry, and we didn't talk about it. And then later you said, I just need to tell you that I experienced his presence, you know, at this particular moment. It was exactly the same moment that I felt it. There's something there, too. I mean, there's a mystery. There's all these different dimensions that seem to be opening up, and it wasn't just for us. It was, like, all throughout the room that you can't explain in a normal way. And it wasn't just interesting and fascinating. There was this power of love that came through you, that was coming towards me, that came, you know, was exploding in my heart. And I could feel his presence in the room.
Right. And that's, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, as you said, it happened. That's an example. I mean, that was an amazing...
Yeah, it was just like a moment. That was a five-minute moment.
Right. Of, you know, of his... I haven't met him, but I felt something come through, and I felt it hit you, and I saw your eyes tear when it did. So it clearly happened.
Yeah, it was unquestionable. There is a woman on the line. Peggy's on the line with a question, so I would love to have her get on with us.
Hello.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi. This is great. I'm really glad to hear the program today. And the question that comes up for me is the whole question about sexual tension. Because in a group when there are men and women and there is such strong connection.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to know how the group handles the sexual tension that's bound to come up, the sexual energy. What do you do with it?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, it's a totally great question. I mean, it's a great question and a very legitimate, you know, kind of concern. And I don't know why, but somehow, I mean, one of the things I know, I mean, I know the places where I'm not, you know, I'm not clear or as sane. But in this particular area, I'm very, very sane, you know, having had like a mind-blowingly amazing sexual connection with Peter and, you know, sort of a very high level of knowledge in that area, just sort of in my system. And you know, Jeff is just a very clear, clean man. You know, so somehow, like, our teaching function, you know, the fact that we're teaching and we're, you know, he's married, we're not in that kind of relationship, but we're in this incredibly deep, profound, teaching-beloved relationship that is unquestionably clear. That strangely enough, in the room, and we have, you know, I would say, it's not quite equal men and women. It's a little bit more women, but we're getting there as far as having it equal. That the depth and the intimacy and the intensity that's there, somehow, without having to control it, it's just very clean and clear.
That's true. I mean, another
it's
thing
really
that
true.
I would say,
I mean, it's a great question because we don't. It's amazing. It's actually. I mean, one of the things. Let me just say one other thing, and then Jeff, you can talk. The nature of this space of relatedness, too, is one of the things that we practice over and over and we're very rigorous about is that one of the things people have to learn about relationship is that your agenda for the relationship is not the point. It's really like if you open wide up, you know, so Peggy and I, if you and I were, you know, practicing and connected and in a complete let go, then we wouldn't know what our connection is supposed to be. And I might have some ideas, oh, I want to be her friend, or maybe we should work together, or whatever. But I literally, the practice is to let go and to really not know and to really just allow the connection to show you moment to moment what should or shouldn't be happening. And there's something larger, I believe, you know, instead of just generic attraction, you know, which is usually where you can get into trouble, because you can sort of just generically be attracted to some handsome guy who's, you know, got certain kind of energy or vice versa. There's something that is on such a higher frequency of, you know, who do you have personal destiny with? And so somehow in the room, there's more of that quality of feeling personal destiny rather than just sort of a generic attraction. And maybe that's what makes it non-problematic, at least in the group so far.
And I guess the thing that I would add, and I think everything you're saying is the reason.
Yeah.
And what supports that is that, you know, because we've never had, it's never been an issue in our ongoing work or in our longer, you know, three-day programs. And it's partly because we really are attracting people who themselves are very awake and very mature.
Yeah.
And we ask for a level of commitment that ensures that people aren't there casually. And you know, it's something I personally am more on watch for when we do more introductory you know, evening or afternoon sessions where there's not necessarily any commitment to continue on, you know, because that's where, of course, people will take advantage of the vulnerability because they don't have a commitment to being there the next day or having to deal with the repercussions. But we've very carefully created a container with a level of integrity and commitment and also real standards for how mature and awake people are that is, as you said, Patricia, it's just working remarkably well,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that very intense energy field. But it is a great question.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you so much, Peggy. Did that help?
Yes. I have to say, knowing both of you, I'm not surprised at all that it's, that the way that you're modeling it is completely clean and open, and I'm sure that contributes a lot to the strength of this whole experiment. But I love the way you've explained it. Thank you, and I'm sure that the listeners will also appreciate that.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, Patricia, I don't know. You had anything in mind, but I had one other excerpt to read.
Sure.
This one happens to be from my chapter, but I think it could easily have come from any chapter. It happens to be my experience of exactly that poetic quality that I mentioned earlier. So this, what I realized in doing this practice, which is generally done in pairs and involves speaking back and forth to each other, is that if you surrender to it, something can take over. And with any spiritual practice, the point is always going to be some variation of allowing something to happen that's bigger than you. And so this is a little excerpt that talks about what happens as you deepen into this practice of mutual awakening. And it goes like this. As you continue to let go, words emerge from your mouth more and more spontaneously. They seem to be describing your experience as quickly as you're having it. The intellect is no longer the source of what you are saying. The words emerge from a deeper source of your being, and you realize that you are saying things you never could have imagined before. Often in mutual awakening practice, what emerges is poetry. I have found that if I follow the words as they emerge and avoid the temptation to adorn them with meaning, I can follow the trail of spontaneous utterances into new worlds of possibility.
That's beautiful.
And that is my experience of the practice, that you literally feel as if the experience that you are having, the relatedness that's happening between you and your partner, begins to have a voice, and it speaks through you. And as it speaks, it leads you forward deeper and deeper into whatever experience, as you said earlier, Patricia, whatever experience you're destined to have with that person in that moment unfolds right before your eyes, so to speak. And it is truly a profound surrender to what can happen in the space between when we are not trying to control it or manipulate it in any way.
It's beautiful. Yeah, that's, you know, the book, the focus of the book, and then obviously the practice does begin to stabilize in people and in us a way of being moment to moment in life where you are being that way. You know, you're less in your concepts. I mean, what I think many people discover as they begin to work with this is that they've been living in concepts.
Right.
Speaking, you know, opinions and concepts and not really being fully here and focused on not only your own experience, but the space that's happening between you and existence, between you and another, you know, just as a practical thing. And there starts to be this kind of immediacy and intimacy and almost an inability to speak just from the mind, you know, just from sort of like regurgitating things that you already know instead of being in the immediacy, which is where the poetry comes from. So it's very, it's more like living. I mean, it does make sense that in an evolutionary scale, like, there's always more beauty, goodness, and I don't know what the third thing is, but there's just more beauty and goodness. What was the third one? You know, because it becomes more artistic. It's like life as art instead of life as caveman, you know, of, you know, just sort of survival and trying to get your needs met and, you know, using other people to fulfill some kind of agenda. It's become stabilized much more as an aesthetic. There's like an aesthetic quality that becomes lived much more beautifully. So we are going to be, we're going to run out of time any minute.
Okay.
So I do want to just say one more time that we would love for you to have this book. And we're going to also make it possible for you to, like, send this book to a friend, you know, as a gift. And since, you know, Christmas and stuff is coming, it might be a really lovely thing to share with others. So it's www.ecdownload.com, ecdownload.com, and the name of the book is Mutual Awakening, Opening into a New Paradigm of Human Relatedness. And it's, you know, the illustrations, I mean, all of it, it's really, the design person just did a beautiful job and just really made it quite beautiful, which we're really happy about. So, Jeff, thank you once again for being with me today and our eternal partnership.
You are very welcome, and thank you.
Okay, and goodbye, everybody. I hope you enjoy the book, and I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bye now.
Thank you for participating in another Evolutionary Collective Conversation with Patricia Albert. For more information about the Evolutionary Collective and evolutionary relationships, please visit our website at www.evolutionarycollective.com, because the conversation is infinitely juicier with you in it.